Hey, everybody. We're one day late, but we're on the scene here with a movie bonfire. This is Will Carter.
This is Zach Freeman.
And today we're going to have some reactions to Speed Racer.
Yeah, and we were going to record in a nice open church recording area, but there was somebody praying.
We felt like we couldn't really interrupt her prayer session.
To give a Speed Racer podcast.
So just think, just imagine how considerate we are.
Unless she may be in there praying for Speed Racer. Because it's going to need it to go against. She's like, please, God, let people not go to Prince Caspian and go to Speed Racer this weekend, because Speed Racer really needs your help, oh Lord.
I think you're onto something, because the way the reviewers and all the online blogosphere has been ripping on this movie,
God.
It just needs some serious godly help.
Yeah. What would be better for a movie than asking for help from an invisible thing?
So let me ask you this, Zach. You saw it in the IMAX.
Yes.
How do you think it was different in the IMAX versus just a regular old theater?
Well, I can't really speak about the regular theater because I didn't see it that way, but in the IMAX, I mean, obviously the IMAX is gigantic. Mm-hmm. So I think it said it was like 6,000 regular TVs or something like that. Some ridiculous.
There's little regular TVs up on the screen?
No, it showed like what a regular TV would look like.
Oh.
And it was like minuscule.
So that you went through like a little tutorial video before
the
show? Yeah,
it gave a bunch of information like there are tiny holes in the IMAX screen that allow sound to get through.
Oh, and that's awesome.
It's powered by some 1,200 watt light bulb or something?
Well,
12,000 watts? I'm not an electrician. I don't know. Anyway.
If you have a chance to see it on IMAX, should people go see it?
I recommend if you're going to see Speed Racer, which just to jump ahead, I do think you should see it. Anyway, if you're going to see it at the IMAX because this movie is something that you want to be enveloped by, not just something you want to sit back and watch.
Right.
Because this movie is all about the editing and the colors and the action, and that's all it's about. The people are secondary in my mind, because they even look, the people look cartoony compared to the cartoony background, because you get into this world of the cartoons and the people look out of place.
Yeah, I'm with you on the cartoon aspect of it, and I'm also with you on this like very original editing that we see.
Oh my God.
What I really thought was unique and original about it was, like, say we're going down a plot point in the movie and it refers back to something in the past of a character. So all of a sudden it'll just kind of morph into that scene from the past with no real, like, it's just a different rule set. Like, we don't really cut to the past. We don't really, like, you know, float a bubble over their head where they're thinking about what happened. You just kind of see it, like, maybe you see the past, but it's over their shoulder, off in the horizon, or a different view of. It's just.
It's not even morphing, I would say.
Right.
Because that's the first word that came to my mind, but then it's not really morphing because the other scene is still taking place.
Right.
The best
right.
way I can describe it is it's like. Like if you're turning pages in a pop up book, but putting pop ups from different pages together, and then somehow focusing on different areas of it while the other ones are still there. I don't know.
I thought it was interesting because I think that especially like a track race or a circular race where some cars are going around the track, it might become a little bit boring, but when you intercut these like short little sequences of the characters who have stakes in the race via this cool editing, it makes it more interesting. So like you cut the speed and then all of a sudden the camera just kind of flies back to the car behind and then you're cutting a Tracy. Then it flies back.
Trixie,
whatever. And then the next second, the camera flies up in the air, and then you're on Racer X, and then you fly back to speed, and then you fly over to Tracy. Just like, you know, there is no rule in this world. There is no camera rule.
You can even see people in the stands watching, or the announcers would be overlaid on the actual screen.
Yeah.
Or you could see, do you remember that moment when they're in the desert, and you see that the bad guy, like from the mouth up?
Like over the horizon?
In the horizon.
Yeah, that was cool.
That moment was, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And I think we're going on and on about how the good stuff of this movie, but there is a reason that it only made $20 million, aside from the fact that it got really overly dissed by reviewers,
mm-hmm.
and that is that it's over 2 hours long. It's a kid's movie. It's very much a kid's movie.
Yeah.
And it spends much too much time dedicated to the emotions of the characters. That's what I think. They could have cut out about 20 extra minutes of dialogue between the family, the Racer family.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with the actors. I thought the actress Susan Sarandon was playing Emil Hirsch's mom. Emil mm-hmm. Hirsch was Speed Racer. John Goodman was his dad. You had Christina Ricci as Trixie.
Right.
Those people all did fine, but there's just too much extra dialogue that got really boring.
You know, I kind of like the family aspect of it. I think where it could have been construed as falling down was it's complicated. It's sort of complicated in the storyline of how Racer is going to eventually overcome the big nemesis in the film. It's about sponsorship with other racers and stock price, and it seems to be a sort of a convoluted path that they follow in order to get to the big race at the end, which I personally actually sort of liked. Like, it's just not a stupid, like, oh, Race is a perfect racer. He just beats everyone until he beats everyone in the end. It's sort of like he actually has to, like, maneuver to get to a position where he can take over in the end.
That's true. This movie didn't have, in the middle, a big montage of him suddenly becoming this great racer. You actually had to see him go through the entire race.
Right.
And, you know, cut his teeth on that long-distance race to learn how to be a better racer.
And I like the fact that alliances are formed. Not necessarily these people are, you know, off on their own, in their own interest, but then they have to form an alliance in order to get to the next point in the show with X, and I forgot the Japanese racer's name, but
Hiroshi or something?
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, but I don't think I'm not sure if a 12-year-old kid is going to follow that, and it's a little complicated and convoluted.
Yeah, and the scene when Royalton, who's the bad guy in the movie, the big capitalist, starts going on about stock prices, even I was getting lost with that. Yeah. And I think maybe that was the intention, though, because they were going, nobody really cares about that except you crazy capitalist stock market guy.
Yeah.
You know, because he was just going on about, and then he sold this, and he sold this,
and he bought this,
which allowed him to buy this, and then I made all this money, and you're like, I don't really care.
I buy into all that conspiracy stuff, like how the races are fixed in the past,
definitely.
And they have that old racer, and he's like, doesn't want to allude to the fact that his big race was fixed, and it's all cool.
What do you think about, I've read in several reviews that they call this movie hypocritical for the fact that they're saying big corporate world, you're bad, it's the little guy that counts, but it is obviously a big budget studio film.
Well, it is a big budget studio film, but I think that I take it as like the directors and the Wachowski brothers are trying to harken back to those days when they were the underdog trying to put forth their idea. And I do like the fact that it's the mom and pop, non-corporate sponsor, you know, do-it-yourself shop that Speed's part of, and he turns down the big corporation. So I appreciate the message that's being proponed in the movie, because the evil here is money, and I don't know, I think we need that kind of message in today's movies. Even though who makes this movie?
Warner Brothers, I believe.
Yeah, so I don't know. What are you going to do?
Yeah, so, I mean, to make a movie of this magnitude, you need that corporate sponsorship.
Yeah, how much this movie cost?
But
do you know that?
It's like $100 million, I believe.
Oosh.
So, but what's interesting is, in the movie, Speed Racer doesn't need that corporate sponsorship to win it at all. But in reality, the Wachowskis might still be the little underdog, maybe. I mean, you could, if that's the argument you're making, but they still needed that corporate Warner Brothers to give them the go-ahead, here's $100 million.
Maybe it comes from this, just like a side effect of, in today's world, if you can gain a name like the Wachowski brothers, and the Warner Brothers will just say, okay, bros, you guys made Matrix, we're going to throw this money at you and trust you, and they're going to get that, and they have the autonomy to make the movie that they want to make. So maybe that's just a side effect of that that's kind of the way that movies are made today. And I appreciate the fact that Warner Brothers is probably not over their shoulder saying, you can't, you know, they're probably not controlling that at all. They're just saying, those guys got a track record, go for it.
And I think you're right. Yeah. Because this movie was, to me, very clearly not put through test audiences. And how is this going to go for this area of people or this area of people? And how should we market this? All that kind of stuff. Because it felt very experimental.
Yeah.
But on a huge scale. But what's disappointing is that reviewers totally panned it and kind of ignored all the good things and just said, it's bubblegum pop, colors, doesn't make any sense, bad acting. And I don't really think any of that was true.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think that it's just the reviewers and the internet power kind of just saying, we're going to flex our muscle. And I think that's why they, in my opinion, they blow up Iron Man into this big thing that is undeserving of it.
I felt these movies were
equal.
And they rip
this one down when it's undeserving of it.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, we're going to shoot Skyrocket Iron Man up, and the next one that comes down has got no chance because we're going to crush them. And
I felt like this was backlash.
Yeah.
Last week, they were just, you know, everybody dropped their pants and jizzed all over Iron Man. So this week they're like, oh, we don't want to look like a bunch of little teenage boys. We don't want to, you know, jizz all over another whatever kind of movie, action movie. So we'll just call this one a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I liked both of them pretty much equally. They're very different, but I like both of them equally. I don't know why someone would want to just stomp this one down and pump Iron Man up.
I think they're kind of wait. If Indy 4 has anything going on, they're going to make Indy 4 like overtake. You know, I don't see Iron Man really. If Indy 4 has anything going on, it won't be able to last through Indy 4, right? Is that what you think?
Oh, Iron Man?
Is
Iron
Man Indy 4 next Friday or two?
No,
Fridays?
It's two Fridays. Prince Caspian's coming out next week, which means Speed Racer's dead. Speed Racer is a kids movie. Yeah. In this country, what are you going to do? All these parents who have been waiting, all these people who protested the Golden Compass, they've been waiting for Prince Caspian since Chronicles of Narnia came out. So Prince Caspian's going to go up no matter what. And Speed Racer is the only competitor because it's the other kids' movie. Speed Racer's screwed. Iron Man will probably... You think Iron Man will be number two next week?
You think so? I think that they're just going to... Because...
You think Iron Man will stay one again?
I sort of do, because I think there's going to be a generated backlash against the part two of this Narnia series, and they're just going to say... The fanboys are just going to say, we're on the march. You know, Iron Man is going to keep stomping through... And we'll go see this a third time to stomp it through... I mean, I didn't see...
That's a good prediction.
I didn't see the first Narnia, so I don't know how great it is. But it's a different audience, I guess. Right?
I saw it. It was good. It wasn't any different than any of the other ones. The only difference is it's by C.S. Lewis, who is a major Christian luminary. And if they make a movie, that's why they're making his movie. That's why Golden Compass flopped. That's why Spiderwick Chronicles flopped.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that built-in Christian people. Yeah. I'm not going to go into it.
I just think that... I forgot. I lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens next week when Prince Caspian comes out. I think it's going to go Prince Caspian and Iron Man close, but Prince Caspian first, then Iron Man. Speed Racer and what happens in Vegas, those are going to be close third and fourth, and that's really disappointing. What happens in Vegas looks like the worst movie ever.
You know what could happen, though, is a lot of times when a movie gets panned right out of the box, it grows an audience later.
Really unfortunate, because this movie needs to be seen in the IMAX.
I guess.
I don't care what kind of home entertainment system you have.
Speed
Racer's not going to be as good as if you see this thing on a humongous screen. This is the first movie where I've seen it on IMAX and gone, okay, this is the future of movies. Why would I want to watch a movie in my house on my flat screen with my speakers? I don't care how good speakers or TV you have. This is on a humongous screen the size of a warehouse.
Right.
With, you know, 300 other people. I'm sitting way back here. That's how I want to see a movie. Surround sound. That's what I want.
All I know now is we're not going to get any of these, like, experimental spectacles.
We're
going to get a spectacle, but it's going to be rooted in a superhero. So that means, you know, the superhero genre is still alive. We've already proven that it can still pound out the books. They're not going to be going, like... You know, let's give the reins to the big boys and let them experiment with our $100 million. They're not going to do that. It's just that's just sad, actually.
Yeah, I know. I hope they still make He-Man, though. Where do you think he falls? Is he a superhero, or is he like a Speed Racer cartoon? Ninja Turtles flopped.
I throw him in.
You can't tie those together, though.
I throw him in the more of the superhero camp.
Good. I want that movie to come out. You know they're making G.I. Joe, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the G.I. Joe of... You know, the
movie.
Not like 1960s G.I. Joe, like the reincarnation of G.I. Joe.
I don't know, old man. Why don't you tell me about it?
The Kung Fu Grip versus the...
Cobra Commander.
Yeah, that's the newer
version. That's the one they're making.
Yeah, all right, well, yeah, I don't... That's beyond me.
All right, well, we're looking
I guess that's...
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, if I had to throw a negative, I was very annoyed by Chim Chim and his little sidekick. I can't remember that boy's name, the brother.
Spritel.
I know he was in there for some comic relief, but I think he's annoying in the cartoon, and he's annoying in this movie, so I didn't like that kid.
Interesting fact. That little kid is the bully in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind that makes Jim Carrey, as a little kid, beat that bird to death in a wagon.
Boy, oh boy, you really do like that movie.
Seriously, me and Bryn were watching... Bryn is my wife. Me and Bryn were watching this movie, And we were like, man, that kid looks so familiar. What is he in? What is he in?
Oh, that's amazing.
And then we IMDb'd him, and we were like, yes, that's the kid.
Yeah.
Is that, that's kind of sad. We've watched that movie that many times.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to throw in a, go see Eternal Sunshine if you haven't seen that now.
Put that in the show notes, the clip to that guy's IMDb page.
All right, well, we're looking forward to next weekend. Not really, actually.
I'm looking forward to
the returns at the box office, but I'm not really looking forward to the movies.
All I'm waiting for is Indy 4. And then we have Batman Returns coming up shortly after that. So
I am looking forward to that
That's what I'm looking forward to.
You can look forward to Indy 4 on your own.
All right, thanks for listening.
All right, word.
See ya.